Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're trying to figure something out, something pretty important in the startup world.
Which is?
Why do the financial projections from startups, even from really smart founders, often just feel off? They don't pass the smell test.
Ah, yes. That's a familiar pain point for anyone looking at early stage deals. You see these summaries and things just seem, well, not as they should be.
Exactly. And the more you dig, the shakier the foundation looks.
It really does.
Now, traditionally, when projections looked, let's say, overly ambitious, people blamed one of two things. First off, just plain incompetence.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe naivete.
Right. That's often the default assumption. You know, founders are brilliant product people, maybe, but they just don't grasp the nitty-gritty of running a business.
They forget costs or guess wildly about scaling.
Mm-hmm. Or they hire an accountant who's like perfectly fine for a stable Main Street business, but has zero clue about how, you know, hyper growth actually functions. The burn rate, the scaling chaos, it's different.
So you get this optimistic founder feeding hopeful numbers to an accountant used to predictability.
And boom, you've got a forecast detached from reality. It's a kind of feedback loop of hopefulness.
Okay, so that's suspect number one. What's number two?
Well, the other usual suspect is what you might call strategic optimism. It's a bit softer than saying outright deception.
More like intentional subversion, selling the dream a bit too hard.
Kind of. It's not usually fraud, but it's this tendency to confuse pitching the grand vision with providing the grounded truth needed for projections.
So they say their execution is rock solid, even after like two sales.
Precisely. They present their, let's call it, overly enthusiastic vision as if it's already baked in reality. It's about blurring that line.
Okay, so incompetence and over-optimism, those are the usual suspects. But our sources today are suggesting something else entirely.
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting. The argument is, what if the problem isn't just the people? What if the main culprit, or at least a major enabler, is the tool itself?
The spreadsheet.
The humble spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sources argue it's a fantastic technology, generally speaking, but for modeling something as complex and frankly chaotic as a startup's future, it's almost impossible to get right.
And just as hard to prove it's right, even if you somehow did nail it, it's like a black box of formulas.
That's a huge vulnerability. You change one little thing, one assumption, and it sets off this chain reaction.
Rippling through the whole model.
Exactly. And you almost never catch all the indirect implications. So a tiny tweak here can lead to a massive error 3 years out that nobody sees coming.
Okay, let's make that concrete. How does this fragility show up when you're trying to model growth? There's this scaling paradox the sources mention.
Right. Spreadsheets are just not great at capturing the non-linear nature of scaling.
Non-linear how?
The classic example is early hiring. Say you're a tiny startup. Adding employee number 3 or 4 or 5, that's often a critical hire, maybe your first salesperson or a key engineer.
Okay.
That specific hire, counterintuitively, often pushes your cash flow deeper into the red, right when you thought you were about to break even or turn positive.
Why then? Why that specific point?
Because you hit new thresholds. Suddenly you need a bigger office space, or maybe you cross the employee count for mandatory health insurance, or you need that pricier software subscription that handles 5 users instead of 2.
Ah, so it's not just the salary, it's this step up in fixed or semi-fixed costs.
Exactly. Costs don't always scale smoothly. And here's the kicker. Delaying those hires looks better on the immediate cash flow spreadsheet.
Right. Less cash out this month.
But it might kill your long-term ability to capture the market or build the product fast enough.
So the spreadsheet shows the immediate salary cost, maybe the immediate revenue boost, but it hides that delayed, lumpy cost structure and the strategic impact of delaying.
Precisely. What you really need is what the experts call variation of parameters analysis, basically playing what if.
Like, what if we delay this hire by 2 weeks? What happens then?
Yes. What's the combined ripple effect on cash and long-term strategy? Spreadsheets give you a static answer based on current inputs. They calculate.
But you need something that simulates, that models the dynamics.
That's the key difference. Simulation, not just calculation. And this need for simulation points to 2 huge fidelity failures in standard spreadsheet models.
Okay, fidelity failure number one.
It's basic timing, cash flow timing. Spreadsheets usually work monthly, maybe quarterly. Looks neat.
Yeah, tidy columns. Makes sense for reporting.
But your business doesn't run on month-end balances. It runs day by day, even hour by hour sometimes.
I've definitely seen founders get burned by this. They look at the end-of-month projection and think, great, We have cash.
But the sources really hammer this point. The cash demands between those dates can kill you. Payroll's due on the 15th, your big client payment. It always lands on the 28th, even though you booked it for this month.
So cheat says you're fine on the 30th.
But you've already run out of money on the 16th and had to shut down, even though you were profitable for the month on paper.
It creates this dangerous blind spot between reporting periods.
Yeah.
Focus on the snapshot. Ignore the flow.
Exactly. Ignoring the reality of when cash actually comes in versus when it absolutely has to go out.
Yeah.
It's a huge reason why seemingly solvent startups just die of thirst.
Okay. Timing is a big one. What's the second fidelity failure?
This one's about the sales process.
Mm.
The sales sieve or funnel. Very few spreadsheets really get the nuances of probability right as leads move through stages.
Meaning they just assume a flat conversion rate from stage to stage.
Often, yeah. Or they don't account for how those probabilities might change. And this leads to something really counterintuitive the sources highlight.
Go on.
Sometimes having more leads move forward early in the funnel can actually be worse for your bottom line than having fewer, better qualified leads.
Wait, hang on. More leads are bad. How does that work? Isn't a fat funnel always good news?
It should be if they're at the right leads, but think about the cost of moving leads through the funnel.
Okay. Sales team time, marketing spend.
Exactly. The source material explains it like this. The sooner you can weed out the people who are never going to buy the tire kickers, the less money you waste trying to sell to them later on.
Ah, so it's not just wasted time, it's actual cash spent on unlikely prospects.
Right. Think about sales commissions maybe paid too early on deals that die later. Or the engineering time spent on custom demos for someone who was never serious. Travel costs for meetings that go nowhere.
And a basic spreadsheet just sees more leads progressing and thinks, great. It misses the hidden cost implication.
Total misses it. It assumes a static conversion cost or rate, ignoring the massive savings you get from qualifying harder and earlier. You could be celebrating a bigger pipeline while secretly bleeding cash on bad leads.
And because spreadsheets are static snapshots, they don't get updated with feedback during the sales cycle easily.
That's critical. You need that fast feedback loop. If your conversion rate from demo to proposal suddenly drops this week, you need to know now, not at the end of the quarter.
So you can change tactics, adjust qualification, figure out what's broken.
Before that small drop becomes a massive revenue miss 3 months down the line,
yeah.
You need to adapt the tactic before it blows up the projection.
Which drives home the point.
Yeah.
We need tools beyond the general purpose spreadsheet for these jobs.
Absolutely. We need specialized applications designed for this kind of complexity.
Okay, so if spreadsheets have these fundamental limitations for a complex startup modeling, what's the alternative? What kind of specialized tools are stepping in?
Well, the sources point to a few key areas. First, tackling that cash flow timing problem head on, since cash is king, especially for startups close to the edge.
Which is most of them.
Pretty much. The first tool is a dedicated cash flow simulation system.
How's that different from just, you know, a detailed cash flow tab in Excel?
It's about dynamics and probabilities. Instead of just spitting out one number for the end of the month, it runs scenarios.
Like Monte Carlo simulations.
Something like that, yeah. It models the range of possible outcomes based on different inputs and timings. What if that big check is 30 days late or 60? What if sales slip 10%? The simulation shows you the potential cash crunch points under different conditions.
So it tells you not just if you might run out of cash, but when the riskiest periods are likely to be.
Exactly. It helps you figure out the actual cash reserves you need to survive the bumps, not just the reserves needed if everything goes perfectly according to the spreadsheet plan. You typically run this analysis quarterly, at least.
Okay, that makes sense for the big picture cash planning. What about fixing that leaky sales sieve analysis?
For that, you need sales sieve analysis automation. The sources say this is absolutely critical for keeping sales on track.
And adapting quickly, like you said before.
Right. This isn't just a quarterly check-in. It's more tactical. Automation lets you update and analyze the conversion rates and flow constantly, almost at every step of the sales process if needed.
So you can spot problems almost in real time.
That's the idea. Imagine the system flags that leads from a specific marketing campaign suddenly aren't converting past the initial call stage this week.
Okay.
The sales manager sees that instantly, investigates, maybe finds out the messaging is wrong or the qualification criteria need tweaking for that channel. They fix it now.
Instead of finding out next quarter that the whole campaign was a bust and wasted a ton of money, it's about debugging the process rapidly.
Precisely. Debugging the process to keep the projections on track or to update the projections realistically based on what's actually happening.
And the third tool mentioned helps with the projections themselves. to stop the ridiculous ones getting through.
Yeah, that's automated projections analysis. Think of it as a sort of automated sanity check.
How does that work?
It basically scans the projection data for internal inconsistencies, like does it flag if you project doubling your customer base while simultaneously cutting your sales team budget by 20%?
Or if your cost of goods sold magically drops to zero next year.
Exactly. It catches those obvious, sometimes embarrassing flaws that humans might miss when they're deep in the weeds. It saves a huge amount of time on basic checks.
So for a startup seeking funding, the process might be run projections, sanity check with automation, adjust, then reconcile with the more sophisticated cash flow simulation.
And crucially, have an experienced human accountant do a final deep dive on the refined numbers and assumptions. It's a layered approach.
Okay, so we have these specialized tools, simulation, automation, analysis checks. The ideal scenario sounds like everything perfectly integrated, right? Change one thing, and the cash flow sim, the sales funnel, everything updates instantly.
That's the dream, the sort of holy grail. Full integration, rigorous change control, everyone notified automatically, all managed by a central system.
I sense a butt coming.
But the sources are pretty clear. That level of rigidity, that strict control, it's often impractical, even harmful, for small, fast-moving startups. It can just kill the speed and agility they need.
So total integration is out, at least for early stages. What's the practical alternative? The sources talk about being connected rather than integrated.
Right. Connected means focusing less on forcing everything into one lockdown system and more on making information transparent and traceable.
How so?
The emphasis shifts. Make it super easy for people to find related information quickly. If you're looking at a sales projection number, you should be able to easily click through to the assumptions behind it, maybe the meeting notes where it was decided.
So easy access and visibility.
And meticulous tracking of changes. Not necessarily strict control over who can change things, but an audit-proof record of what changed, when, and ideally why. Previous versions should always be accessible. Auditability over discipline, maybe.
Okay, I see. And this actually highlights another spreadsheet weakness, doesn't it? Integration often fails because you just email the spreadsheet file.
But not the context, not the email thread that justified changing the conversion rate assumption or the memo about the supplier price increase. The number travels, but the reasoning gets lost. It's like a database record without the rest of the database.
Which leads us to the really future-looking part.
Yeah.
Using AI and narrative.
Yeah, this is fascinating stuff. The sources mention experiments, like with QuietWire.ai, using AI to basically search and connect information across a company, not just by numbers, but through narrative.
Connecting the story behind the numbers. How does AI do that reliably?
It's about advanced linguistic processing and, crucially, attribution. The AI tries to link a number in a forecast back to its source documents, emails, meeting minutes, reports.
Okay.
Then it analyzes the language and the consistency of the narrative. If the projection says we'll double revenue due to the new partnership, the AI can check internal communications. Is everyone talking about that partnership positively? Are there red flags in the comms that contradict the projection's optimism?
Wow. So it's checking if the company's internal story actually supports the financial story being told in the projections.
That's the core idea. Building what they call attribution infrastructure for narrative integrity, combining this with better AI language models could massively improve how we understand and analyze businesses. It's less about just checking if the columns add up and more about checking if the whole story holds together.
We're moving beyond just quantitative checks to qualitative consistency checks powered by AI.
Exactly. Some systems are already doing versions of this internally for diligence. It suggests a future where the truth of a business isn't just in the spreadsheet rows, but in the coherence of its entire operational narrative.
So the big takeaway here seems pretty clear. For understanding the complex, messy reality of startups, especially scaling ones, the good old spreadsheet just isn't enough anymore. We've pushed it past its limits.
We really have. The sources strongly suggest we need this more connected approach, using simulation for dynamics, automation for real-time feedback, and increasingly analyzing the narrative context around the numbers.
It's a shift from seeking one static right answer in a cell towards understanding a range of possibilities and the story driving them.
A much more realistic way to think about a business's future, especially in an uncertain one.
Okay, we've covered a lot, from spreadsheet limitations and handling timing and probability to the need for simulation and dynamic analysis, and even looking ahead to AI understanding business narrative. It really seems like complex financial understanding is moving way beyond simple calculation.
It certainly is.
So here's a final thought experiment for you, the listener. If these sophisticated tools that dynamic simulations, AI analyzing narrative consistency, become truly reliable at modeling the most complex parts of business risk, perhaps even better than traditional financial models, what core assumptions about business truth might we need to abandon? If an AI's assessment of narrative integrity becomes a better predictor of success than the P&L projection, what does that change about how we value and understand companies?
That's definitely something to chew on. Food for thought as you look at the next set of projections. Until next time.